From the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. They got out of the boat. At once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillside, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stone. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of God Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Jesus had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from that territory. Nor a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside. And they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. And the people came out to see what had happened. And they approached Jesus. They caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Those who had witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his mercy has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the biggest geographical questions in the Holy Land is where this scene happened. There are no cliffs immediately over the Sea of Galilee today, so a lot of cheap tour guides in the Holy Land will try to pretend as if this miracle never happened, which is ridiculous. The death of 2,000 swine just can't be made up, especially with all of these details. This scene definitely happened, and it was famous in that pagan territory on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee, from Capernaum, from Magdala, etc. And it highlights something that we always need to pay attention to, that Pope Francis is consistently trying to emphasize. Whether we care about people or whether we care more about money. This man was being tortured by many demons for such a long time. He was out there, everybody could hear him crying. Everybody could see the way that he would gash himself with stones. Everyone could see just what was happening with him when he would smash even shackles. Poor guy, but also the poor residents all over the place, where everyone was frightened by this man. And then Jesus came, did what he had been doing, cast out the many ways this man was possessed. Mysteriously, at the demon's request, who didn't want to be annihilated, who didn't want to be separated, they asked to go into the swine, which is very interesting. Of course, the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with pigs. Pagans, though, raised pigs and ate them just like we do today. So they begged to go into that herd. And Jesus permitted it. And all were drowned. And the response of the people there in Gerasene was not, "Alleluia, we've got a brother back," when they saw him sitting down of right mind. They were afraid. Afraid that Jesus would do this, probably next to the sheep. Who knows what he would do to the fish? Who knows what he would do to the other animals? And they begged him to leave their district. It's an extraordinary thing. They valued their economic loss more than they did this human gain. We see this same logic behind so many of the most nefarious aspects of the abortion business. We see it the way so many people are left uncared for. Maybe not gashing themselves with stones. Maybe not crushing shackles. But in so many other ways, Pope Francis likes to repeat that if three people die of cold, die of exposure on a tough winter night, it really doesn't even make the newspaper. But if the stock market falls by 2 points, it's headlines. Because at a practical level, we value those 2 points in the stock market more than we value three people dying of exposure. And I think in most places he's right. We see the opposite in the repentant David in today's first reading. On Saturday, Nathan prophesied that the sword would never leave David's house. And here we are seeing that sword. Absalom, his own son, was trying to attack his father in a coup. Now, David's response could have easily been, "Absalom, I have forgotten more about military warfare than you will ever learn in your entire life. I will teach you and I will teach every insurrectionist not to do what you're doing." He could have called his generals. He could have attacked. But King David cared more about his son than he cared about his kingdom. He knew if there was a battle there in Jerusalem, many innocent people would die. And he cared about their lives more than he did his own. More than he did his kingdom, more than he did all that he had built. And so off he went, very humbled. Maybe this was a penance for what he had done before. But off he went, and similarly, when this Benjaminite comes out in Bahurim, the very famous Shimei, we will all have Shimei's sisters, cursing David, murderous and wicked man. Now you suffer ruin because you are a murderer. When Abishai asked to decapitate him for his insulting the Lord's anointed, David relented. He said, "No way," because he cared for this Benjamite more than he did his own reputation. He had been transformed to care even about these people who were attacking him. And hence would see what would happen in his house later when people would be doing the same to Jesus. And Jesus' response, far more powerful than David, was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Today, as we come forward at this Mass, we give thanks to the Lord for the vow of poverty, as well as priestly simplicity of life, and the first beatitude for all Christians to live with poverty of spirit, treasuring truly the kingdom of God. This is what prevents our being caught up by this cancerous worship of the golden calf, or the live pig, or our own sense of power like King Herod. So that we might treasure the kingdom and find that king which is to save, not destroy, everyone he has created with his wise hand. Praise be Jesus.